Good morning, Texas. Here we are again. We are at program number 137, The Cup of Goodness, where we talk about the goodness of God through Paul's teachings from the risen Savior, not the severity of God, that Jesus taught to the Jews and teaching again to the Jews during the tribulation. The website that supports all this material that we've done over the years is www.scatteredchristians.org. And you can find tons of sermons. Tons refers to weight, but that's what we say, right? How about hours and hours and hours and hours of sermons? But who wants hours and hours and hours of sermons anymore? Anyway, if you want to find out more in detail what I'm talking about here, you go to scatteredchristians.org, and you've got everything from history to Japheth music, Ham music, Shem music, sermons about music, piano playing hymns of the hymns and the songs from the olden days. Nothing fancy, nothing excited up there. You can find sermons to go back. I think I go back as far as 2004 now. I'm not sure where I cut the line off there, but you got more enough to do there than the rest of your life. You can sit. Matter of fact, folks, until they shut that thing down, you can get some good teachings in there during the tribulation if they leave it up there. But I can pretty much assure you that it won't be there during the time of tribulation. I'm not sure how much longer it's going to be there, either for finances or because of the government shutting down all this stuff with supposed hate talks on there. But how can you say that the risen Savior, the goodness of God, would be considered hate messages, hate preaching? But it will be soon enough. Paul even says, listen, the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. Why am I your enemy? Because I teach you the truth. See, so yeah, Paul's stuff is considered, they never liked Paul's stuff from the start. He's been hated from the start. We are going through tribulation. We're getting people set up. We're getting you prepared how to have a good time during the tribulation, what to expect during the tribulation, what to believe during the tribulation, and some things you better have down during the tribulation. Because, folks, I can pretty much guarantee, according to the scriptures, they won't be teaching you this during the tribulation. So get it now while it's hot. Get it now while it's free. And free meaning it's free. But like I say, the program will be over December 23rd because the program is not free and we're just going to shut it down and dust our feet and go somewhere else. But until then, listen up. I'm going to teach you more about the tribulation. I'm going to teach you some fascinating information about the Messiah, the music. I'm going to show you some things about the Christian walk. And I'm going to show you how to concern yourself for other people, according to Paul, according to the risen Savior, according to God through the dispensation of grace. And that's not that many days away, so we've got to get moving here. If you want to hear the music that's available, go to the website, scroll down to the music, and you'll find hundreds and hundreds of hymns played on piano, and there you go. So, let's get going here. What are some other things you're going to have to do? In the last program, we talked a little bit how you're going to have to obey your pastor. You're going to have to love the brethren. And see, my point is, you already do. Some of you folks, you are going to be so thrilled when the Gentile preaching guys are gone to this Paul stuff and this King James Bible crowd, you probably don't even hear much about Paul. I'm probably the only guy that you've ever heard talk about Paul only. I know down there in Texas, you've got some King James only guys down there. I know that. And you've had some hard preaching over the years from preachers and pastors that preach about sin. I know the history of that area, and you got colleges down there that preach a strong theological message, you know. And their strong theological message is not based on the scriptures. Talk about deception down there. But anyway, we're looking at some things here. I can say you had to obey your pastor. You're already to do that. You'll have to have a holy conversation. Let's get into some new things here. Here's something else now. Program number 137. Here we go. You will have a different assurance. Hereby do we know that we know him. Well, how do we know that? Our assurance today is based on Paul's teachings. It's based on the fact that our faith in Christ gives us his armor. It gives us his faith. It's his salvation. It's his righteousness we're counting on. All that. So it's not even us that we're counting on. We're trusting what God said. So that's our assurance. Assurance during the tribulation? Here we go. Well, how do you know this tribulation? Because it's in 1 John. And 1 John teaches differently than Paul does. And 1 John is part of the Gospels. Well, how do you know that? John duh, same guy, you know. But God's dispensational placement of the books in the Bible tells me again that we're looking at tribulation here. Okay, so here, and here we go. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. 1 John chapter 2. Are you keeping his commandments? Come on, don't mess with me. I know you don't. I know I don't. I don't go out of my way not to, but I mess up every couple seconds. I think I made 3 mistakes all year. Okay, maybe 4. Well, right there, I've lied, so I've already blown it. I'm done. I'm kaput, based on tribulational doctrine. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. By the way, keeping his word, you don't even have his word, according to all your pastors out there. Crazy stuff that's going on today. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? See? Listen, folks, if you're accepting me as a pastor, and you're accepting me as a Christian, and I'm teaching you stuff you're not sure of, so you don't agree with it, but you know I'm still a brother, da-da-da-da. Well, listen, folks, I have need. And you folks have not sent any money, well, one person did, to help this program keep going. I don't talk about the money thing. I'm just showing you that if you believe this stuff, and we have a need to keep this program going, and you're shutting up your bowels of compassion, and you're not helping us out here, how dwelleth the love of God in you? See, there's a route I could go down. And that's what these pastors do out there in your radio programs. We need your support. We need you to keep this program going. Don't you love God? This is where they get this stuff from, folks. This is from the tribulation. Yes, you better be there to help people during the tribulation. You're going to be having trouble helping yourself. You're going to want somebody to help you. That's tribulation. It just gets me to hear, and I very seldom listen to stuff anymore because they just usually get me all fired up. I want to just call them up. In most of these programs, you can't talk to them anyway. You can call me anytime, by the way, 509-876-1611, although I don't always hear that. Leave a message if you want. Leave a write to me. Just, all my stuff is on the website. I'm always amazed when people ask me, what's your phone number, what's your email address, what's your website address, what's your home address? It's all on the website right there. Anyway, here we go. Here's another one here. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. How do we know? Because we keep his commandments. We keep his word. 1 John chapter 3, 22, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. See, there's that one. Whatever you ask, you receive. Have you received everything you've asked? Well, it's probably because you don't keep his commandments. And you're maybe not doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. Well, I know 1 John 1:9, you confess them. But why, is it working? Does that whole process work? It doesn't work yet. It's not the dispensation for receiving what you ask. And keeping his commandments. And doing those things that please in his sight, do you even know what the things are that please God? According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, the things that please God is to follow what Paul teaches. That's the risen Savior through Paul. That's what pleases God. Do you really think that doing the Jesus teachings in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, being a peacekeeper, do you really think that that pleases God today? It doesn't. That was done to the Jews during the Bible days when Jesus was on this earth, and that will be done again during the tribulation. But what pleases God today? Looking to Paul. Looking to what the risen Savior teaches. I don't understand. Yes, I do. Don't go there. Okay. Let's keep going. Let's check it out here again. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. In other words, how do we know? Because the Spirit teaches us how to obey his commandments. Keep his commandments. That's what it says. So it's a different kind of assurance than what Paul gives to us. Okay, what else are you going to have? You're going to have the Spirit of God upon your flesh, or you're not going to be able to keep those commandments. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is in Acts chapter 2, verse 16. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. What have we got going on today? We have exactly that going on today. But the problem is, we don't have the Spirit of God upon our flesh. We have the Spirit of God in us, and he has cut us away from the flesh. You know what that means? In the tribulation, you are going to have to stop sinning. It's that simple. You're going to have to stop sinning. Romans chapter 6 talks about how Christ has taken care of sin by getting rid of the law, Romans chapter 10. But you're going to have to stop sinning during the tribulation. Listen to this in 1 John chapter 3. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. You're going to have to stop sinning. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You claim to be born again, John chapter 3. Do you claim to be born of God? Well, in the doctrines of those books that you're claiming, you're going to have to stop sinning. What about dispensation of grace? Christ imputes his righteousness to me. He cuts my soul and spirit away from the flesh. He gives me his Spirit and cuts me away from that flesh and takes care of the law. There's no law, there is no sin. So we can do what we want. All things are lawful. Well, but all things aren't expedient. We know that. Not to cause somebody to stumble. We know that. Shouldn't be just an occasion for the flesh. We know that. So these things, they grieve the Spirit of God. We know that. But we ourselves, our works will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, but not us. He has already paid for my soul. I already belong to him. And it's not based on my walk. It's based on his walk. But in the tribulation, your salvation will be based upon your walk. You keeping the faith of Jesus Christ will be based on your walk. And if you do any sinning, you're not born of God. And you better get those things confessed, 1 John 1:9. And if you miss any, and James, you miss one, you're done. It's just the way it is. And if you take that mark in Hebrews chapter 6, you can't get it back. Pretty tough times. According to Hebrews chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 3, you'll have to stay on the straight path. Christ will chastise you. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Get yourself back on that trail. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You better get on the right path, and you better stay on the right path, and if you stray from that straight path, you better get back on it as quickly as you can, because you never know. In fact, things are going to be so tough in 1 John chapter 2, you're going to need an advocate. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Do we need an advocate today? Do we? Do we need to have him cover for our sins? He's already paid for our sins today. He already imputes us his righteousness, and doesn't he even impute our so-called sins, because he got rid of the law, so they're not even sins. That's what the dispensation of grace is, folks. You think it's too much? Yeah, it is too much. But that's how much he loved the world, and he gave his only begotten son. But if you reject it, you don't have him. And he's not chasing you today. Romans chapter 2 tells you what's going on today. Dispensation of grace for the lost and the saved. The lost, their works will come up in the white throne judgment and reprove to prove to Christ as such that they're lost. They will die in their sins. We are dead to sin, and they are dead in their sins. Amazing. But yeah, you'll need an advocate. Guaranteed. Revelation chapter 14 tells us there's a different gospel that's going to have to be preached during the tribulation. Really? Yes. Listen to this here. Revelation, and this isn't Paul's gospel, believe me. This isn't what Paul teaches. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. But they'll be worshiping the Antichrist instead. They'll be bowing down to when they hear music. They'll be worshiping his image. But they'll be rejecting that everlasting gospel. 1 John 3:22 says this, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. There you go. 1 John 4:15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. But how are they going to know that he is the Son of God? They won't know, will they? How can you say that? Because I pointed out in each program this week that when Jesus Christ truly shows up, they don't even know his name. His name is the Word of God. They don't even put those two things together. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, see. Who is he that overcometh the world, that he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, and yet people will be believing that this Antichrist is the Son of God, because he came down from the sky in Revelation chapter 6. They're going to not be keeping his commandments. They're going to be keeping his commandments, the Antichrist. Does it sound confusing? No, not really. Well, it sounds confusing to you, but that's just because you guys, you folks out there are listening to tribulational doctrine already, and you think it's fine and dandy. Peachy keen, hunky-dory. But it's not. It's against everything Paul taught. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. See, Christ makes me without spot and blameless. When he comes back, he will have to find you without spot and blameless. Otherwise, it says in 1 John that you'll be ashamed when he comes. It's amazing, isn't it? Yep. Let's look at some more. I got some more notes here. You will have to know different things than you have to know today, for example. Vengeance belongeth to me, the Lord says. The Lord will judge his people. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. Faith without works is dead. That's during the tribulation, James chapter 2. Friendship of the world is enmity with God, James chapter 4. How many folks here have a friendship of the world out there? Come on. You're doing Christmas with everybody else. You're working amongst the world with everybody else. You're palling around with everybody else in the world. And Paul says, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But in tribulation, your friendship with the world is enmity with God. Okay? 1 John says, if you know him, you'll have to keep his commandments. You know in 1 John chapter 2 that then that is called the last time. 1 John, you can know that you have passed from death to life based on 1 John chapter 3. No murderer hath eternal life. There's a good one for you. Amazing stuff. How many people think the world is full of wickedness and you're not? Well, see, that's in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. Ye are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Well, come on. We still have our dirty flesh today, folks. Yes, we are of God. And the world does lie in wickedness. But you're right along there with them in your works. We haven't been that separated yet. That's tribulation. They have to be. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Tribulation. Okay. What else we got here? Well, tribulation. you will really suffer during this tribulation. Oh, will there be suffering going on? For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Revelation 16. Revelation 12. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. There will be death going on because you're a Christian. What glory is it if, when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Does that make sense to you? When you're buffeted for your faults, when you get in trouble for the dumb things you've done, you put up with it. But during the tribulation, you will be suffering because you'll be doing the right thing. You'll have to do the right thing, and you will suffer for it. Today, can you do the right thing? Well, you'll suffer a little bit for it, but you're not going to suffer death. You might lose your job. Maybe you went yourself a little too far and you're doing well. Paul deals with it. We'll talk about that here pretty soon. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. See, tribulation, you're going to have to follow Jesus' steps. You know how much he suffered. 1 Peter 3:14, but, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Listen, I know we still suffer today, but we don't suffer like they're going to have to suffer during that time. I know Paul suffered greatly, and we have our challenges. But the revelational suffering, the tribulational suffering, they'll be suffered for well-doing. Well, we do that today, but not the same here. It's called fiery trials in Peter, partakers of Christ's sufferings. That's suffering. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. See, you'll be suffering according to the will of God, but you better keep that soul in your well-doing. According to the will of God. See, if you study Paul, which you don't have time to do, we've had 135 programs, you've had your chance, you find out that suffering today, God does not will you to suffer. You're not suffering because God is chastising you. You're not suffering because God is making you pay back. You'll be reaping what you sowed, no problem. You'll be suffering because still to be a Christian is to be different than the world. Now, we understand that, but it's not God making you suffer. What did I hear today? I heard something today where somebody was killed or whatever because this person said that God was blessing that person. Well, tell that to the family of the guy that was killed, that he was killed because God chose to let him to be killed, but not this other guy. You know what that does? That makes people hate God. That is so bogus of a teaching. God let me live, but not this other guy. No wonder people hate God like they do today. No wonder they think God isn't there. That's just ridiculous teaching, sir. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, you want to receive grace? It says right here, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You want grace during the tribulation? It doesn't come until Christ shows up. You don't have it every day. In fact, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The little bit of grace that you're going to be able to find, you're going to have to beg for it. Because hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The real grace will not be there until he comes. And you will have to have grace for others. Looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Your lack of grace for others can cause you to be defiled. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. These are in Hebrews. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats. That's tribulation. This is the dispensation of grace. And yet, during the tribulation, you will have to have grace for everybody that's out there. You got your own problems. You're not going to want to worry about everybody else's problems. You're going to have your own. Believe me. Now, like the Message Bible says in Ephesians 1:13, You take that Signet, you're going to get what you got coming, and you are going to have your hands full. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as every man that received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Grow in grace, it says in 2 Peter 3:18, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but you're going to be following a different Jesus. That's what's going to happen, folks. That's what's going on. And yet, everybody's following these tribulational doctrines today. They're following them in the wrong dispensation. They're rejecting Paul as the only apostle because Paul, the only apostle, is the only apostle that Jesus Christ went to after he rose. So you reject the King James Bible. You reject Paul's rightly divided teachings. You are, in effect, rejecting the risen Savior. And you will be heading into the tribulation unless you die and just flat go to hell before the tribulation gets here, and your works will be judged, and you will be judged because you will die in your sins. And a Gentile who has turned to the risen Savior, a member of the body of Christ, goes off to be with him and will come back with him in Revelation chapter 19, it says. And when he comes back again, folks, you won't even know that that's the risen Savior coming back. You won't even know that that's his name, and his name is the Word of God. And you already don't believe that. Thank you.